you, Steve. Hi, guys. It's us. It's Bill and it's Wendy, and we're through in 298-1-7200. That's our phone number and our text line. This is one of those shows. Every once in a while, a show will come up, and you take a look at it on paper, and you go, I don't even think that we could screw this one up. This looks like a pretty solid show.
Oh, we can screw anything up.
Yeah, we could, if we set our minds to it, still screw it up. But, boy, it has the makings of a really good show when you think about it.
And it's Friday Eve.
Yeah.
So that's always good.
So true.
Michael Rooker is going to be at Wizard World, and we are going to talk to him in a little bit. And there's another guest who's going to be there at the Donald D. Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont. He's an actor. He's a writer. He's a producer. He's a musician. He's got a new book that he's going to debut. It's in his hand.
He is heir to the Papa Nicholas coffee throne. Someday all that Papa Nicholas coffee money will go his way. It's Thomas Ian Nicholas making a return engagement to the show. Thomas,
Bill and Wendy,
nice
thank you for having me again.
Nice to see you.
Absolutely.
Just wouldn't be a visit if I didn't come and say hi.
You know what? I saw you a week or so ago at Wrigley throwing out the first pitch, and it looked to me like you were having the best time you ever had.
It was amazing, and you know, I got to sing the seventh inning stretch as well. So
nervous at all or not nervous at all? Not even a little bit.
Not even a little bit. No. They know to stop giving me the lyrics. Because they get up there and like, give you the lyrics. I'm like, I don't need the lyrics.
But there are some people who, when they look out and they go, uh-oh, there's 35,000 people looking at me. I'm a little nervous. You don't get any of that.
No. I even opened it up with my little Henry quote. I don't know if you hear that.
Yeah.
I started out the seventh inning stretch with Henry, Ro-Ro, Gar-Gar, Ner-Ner.
Boy, you do that well.
And then I said like some other line from it, I think, as well. I said, what's this?
Yes.
The Cubs are bringing in their right fielder to pitch?
Yeah.
It's weird that you weren't nervous about it, because I know you're a musician and you play to crowds, but I don't know. Sometimes those baseball crowds are very unforgiving, and they make fun of you afterwards.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely got made fun of one year because I tried to, like, impersonate Harry Carey. And I think everyone just thought I was drunk because I didn't have the glasses, you know, so, and I'm holding a beer, you know, because that was Harry. So, yeah. Like, and I was like, all right, Cubs fans. And, like, they were just like, man, why is that guy, like, so drunk for the seventh inning stretch?
Whoops.
So I got made fun of that year.
And do you hear it differently? Because I know a lot of times, who was a real bad one? Mike Ditka was pretty terrible.
Mike Ditka was horrible. Ozzy Osbourne was horrible.
Oh, my
well,
God.
Well, let's be fair. When you're hearing an organ, like, yeah. I remember the first time I did, I think I blew out my voice. Because, you know, the organ, like, Gary plays the organ, and, like, it's like, what? It's like three octaves that you hear.
Right.
You
true.
Know, so, like, he's holding that note down, and it's just, like, it's just kind of waning out as you get everyone started.
Yeah.
And you could start, like, take, but you could start here. Take, and then if you start up, you're dead.
Screwed.
Yeah. Like, then the first year I did it in 08, I started way too high. I was like, take me out. I was like,
oh, no. And there's no rehearsal. You don't come in an hour before the game with Gary Pressey and say, let's just work on some things.
Well, you go into his, like, booth beforehand, but it's obviously a different thing when he's, like, there and he, like, plays it. When you hear it over the whole stadium, you know what I mean? You're just, like, kind of, I don't know. You got to know the note you're starting on. You need, like, one of those little whistles.
Right, the tuning thing.
Yeah. Harmonica. I've seen some celebrities do a thing where they sing the first line or two, and then they put all the pressure on the fans. They'll hold the microphone out, and they'll hold it, so the pressure's on you people.
That's when they
me.
Change key, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You know, the number one rule is you just got to make sure you sing about the Cubbies.
Right.
It's
right.
Not just the home team.
No,
like
you got to say the
else.
Word Cubbies.
Yeah.
That's important.
Forgive me, I didn't watch it. I'm a Sox fan. Did you get it over the plate?
Of course, I always get it over the plate.
All right. I
mean,
sorry.
To be fair, at the 20th year anniversary, I did hit the plate, but that's because I floated it.
So. Did you see the guy last week who threw out the first pitch? I don't remember which major league stadium it was, but he throws it so far that he hits a guy.
Oh, I saw that.
In the worst possible place you could hit a guy. That was so.
But it was like a wild pitch. Yeah. It went up. It was a guy standing behind home plate.
A fan or a player?
A guy who was there. He looked like he was a member of the press or something.
So he wasn't wearing a cup.
Definitely not wearing a cup, and not expecting a ball to hit him there.
Yeah,
and he's dead. That man passed away. It's very sad.
When are you going to be at Wizard World? All weekend?
All weekend. It starts tonight. And I was here last time telling you about Handbook for Mortals, which we've been pre-selling at Wizard World. But the book came out August 15th. And obviously, if
there
you're listening
is.
In, you can't see me holding it. But obviously, Bill and Wendy get to see it. So here's the book, Handbook for Mortals by my business partner and author, Lanny Sarum. USA Today actually just put it as number 34. For all books.
Wow.
And that's like ebooks, hardcover, paperback, you know, everything. So we've got our eyes. We're definitely going to be paying attention on Saturday when the New York Times list comes out and see where we end up. And so we'll have the book at Wizard World. Lanny is there, who's sitting right behind me.
Hi, Lanny.
And she'll be there to sign them. And I'll sign them, too, if people want. So you can actually get the book at Wizard World Comic Con here in Chicago.
Why is it that highly ranked so quickly? What is it? Was there a built-in audience that already knew some of the story? How did it become so highly renowned so quickly?
Well, we've been doing the Wizard World tour since Philly. Was that in April, Jerry? It was April, right? So we did Wizard World Philly, Sacramento, Columbus, and obviously Chicago.
Yeah.
And so we've been doing pre-sales for the book. So those pre-sale numbers definitely helped our opening. And so I know what those numbers are. But obviously, you know, when the book came out in stores.
Yes.
And we've been doing, you know, press for it. We've been on your show. It's probably because we were on your show.
Probably a lot
He's
of that
so
is
so sweet, isn't it?
Yeah. That's. I mean, I think that's what, that was the thing that like kind of the, you know, the nail.
Is
the nail in the coffin. That's what we usually are to people. Yeah. So
is
that's
possible?
Good.
Or the straw that broke the camel's back. You know, I don't know.
Is
the catalyst?
It maybe Jerry just keeps buying copies? Is it possible Jerry just keeps?
No, because that would only count as you know, that would. I don't think that would count.
No,
I mean, I love Jerry. Nothing.
It has to be
Jerry.
Individual sales. It's not just one person buying thousands and thousands of copies.
Exactly.
That's great.
It's. I mean, as far as I know, the book is available in you know, about 500 retail stores across the country.
That's tremendous. Congratulations.
Brief synopsis of it?
The synopsis is a young woman moves to Las Vegas to join a magic show, and it turns out she can do real magic. So later this year, Lanny, the author, and I will be producing this into a film along with Chris Kenner, who is David Copperfield's exec producer. So we'll be shooting it in Vegas. You know, in the fall.
Congratulations.
That's all good news. Have you found a part for yourself in this?
Yes, I have a part. I mean, I try to pick like supporting characters because obviously producing has a lot of responsibilities. And I've been doing this a fair amount recently. I've got another film called The Lost Tree that comes out on Friday the 13th in October.
Yeah.
With Michael Madsen and Lacey Chabert. I produced it and starred in it. And then Living Among Us comes out in January. It's unfortunately John Hurd's last movie. I produced and starred in that. And I'm actually going to call later today. I'm calling the Music Box Theater.
Yeah.
Because we've got a theater in L.A. and a theater in New York for The Lost Tree. I got to add Chicago in.
Oh, I hope so.
So
we
I'm
would
gonna,
love that.
I'm going to give
can
them a call
our
later
names.
Today.
Can I tell you a
I'm
secret
doing it.
About...
I'm like, listen, I'm going to seal this deal right now. Bill and Wendy.
Yeah, that's all you need to say. Can I tell you a secret just between you and me about Michael Madsen? He's crazy.
He is crazy.
He's crazy.
That's
a secret.
Everybody knows it. He's crazy.
I love
I mean,
him.
I actually am. When I get back to L.A., I think next week there's this guy I met in. I was here with my band last week.
Yeah.
So we played in Bradley, Illinois.
Oh yeah.
And I met the limo driver, Tim, who was the limo driver in Rookie of the Year.
Oh really?
And
so
weird is that?
He's making a documentary about Michael Madsen. I don't know if I can actually say that. It's American Bad. I don't know. I can say that on the radio.
American Bad Rear End.
Rear End, yes.
That's a silly name.
American Bad Butt.
American Bad Heine was the original title, and people said, no one wants to see this.
Right.
No one wants to know about this.
But yeah, so it's all about Madsen, and so I'm going to be doing an interview about my time of working with Madsen. I've done a couple of films with him, so...
I interviewed him once and in a radio station in a studio, you're not allowed to smoke. And I let him know that. And he goes, really? And he just kept smoking like it didn't affect him.
I mean,
all.
If you had told him before he had a cigarette, I'm sure he would have lit up at that moment. As
I
well.
Can't believe you even said anything.
Oh,
to
yeah.
Him.
It was he and David Carradine together because it was a Tarantino film. And both of them, like I kept going, no, he's the crazy one. Oh, wait a minute. He's the crazy one. It was fun.
So who ended up taking the cake?
It was a tie.
It was a tie.
Yeah. Everybody was happy to know it ended in a tie.
Speaking of, you know, our last visit here, we were talking about being in sports films. Have you ever interviewed Gary Busey?
I've never. No, have you? So,
well,
have you met him?
Have I met Gary Busey? Yeah. Well, I did Rookie of the Year with him.
He was in the movie, but does he actually meet people? I imagine they shoot him privately. So he doesn't bite anybody.
That would probably, I was just curious if, you know, where he would rate on the Michael Madsen level.
I've only seen him on TV and of course in films and stuff, but.
Well, then you know him. I mean, pretty much that's
he'd
him.
He'd go over Madsen. He'd be worse, I think.
Probably.
Yeah.
A different kind of crazy.
Who's
of all the celebrity types you've met over the years, is he number one? Is he the king of the hill when it comes to potentially crazy?
Who, Busey?
Yeah.
You'd
be up there?
I can't really, like, maybe I already told this story last time, and stop me if I did, but my favorite quip is that he was the nicest to me on the set of Rookie of the Year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, he once carried me by my underwear 25 feet across the lunchroom in front of 100 crew members.
You know what?
But he was the nicest to me. He was the nicest.
Judi Dench did the same exact thing.
Did you buy your underwear?
Yeah, for no reason. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. I get all, look at me. I promised myself I wouldn't cry. I'll be fine.
That's when she got her dame added to her title.
I don't want to talk about it.
Wow.
Dench takes on a whole new meaning now.
Yes, it does. Thomas Ian Nicholas is at Comic-Con this weekend. That's today through Sunday.
It's Wizard World.
Yes. Well, it's Wizard World Comic-Con.
Right.
It's both.
It's everything.
Right. See, that's why it's the Bill and Wendy show.
Right.
But Wendy, your name might go first. You might need to go first now.
That's all right.
It should.
All weekend long, you're there today through Sunday.
Yeah.
New book,
Handbook for Mortals, will be available for sale, and you get it signed by the author and me, if you want.
And who wouldn't?
Why wouldn't you? All right, a quick break and then more with Thomas Ian Nicholas. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thomas Ian Nicholas is here. He's either at Wizard World or Comic-Con this weekend. Nobody knows for sure. Whatever you ask
I know for sure.
Which one is it?
I'm at Wizard World Comic-Con in Chicago.
Merged.
It's both.
They have finally merged. We knew this would happen eventually. Can I pitch a movie idea to you? Are you a Star Wars fan?
Of course I am.
All right, so here's my idea, because Star Wars is very popular. You know this. It's Chewbacca as a young boy, and he wants to be a baseball player, and it's called Wookiee of the Year. Do you think people would go to see that movie?
Yes,
I
would
see that
movie.
Can I tell you for sure they would? I mean, Star Wars fans
But he wouldn't be a young
so
boy,
loyal.
He'd be a young Wookiee.
Young Wookiee. A Wookiee.
Living in the treehouse in the forest where they grow
sold.
Up.
Sold. We have sold a film. Today's a good day.
So that's how he breaks his arm. He falls out of the treehouse.
It's all done. Who do we pitch?
It wrote itself.
There
Can
it is.
Gary Busey be in it?
We want
and
Gary
Michael
Busey.
Madsen.
It'd be Harry Busey. I mean, you can go all day long with this one.
I like it. This is a think tank.
Yeah, I mean, this is probably a family show. But when I was a kid, I did Rookie of the Year when I was 12. A couple years later, my brother bought me this movie. It was called Nookie of the Year.
Nookie of the Year.
My mom took it away from me because it had a woman on the front cover with a baseball, a Cubs jersey. But that's probably
all she was
wearing.
Yep.
You know, they make those movies that, like, you know, they spoof the title.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway, I didn't mean to pull us into the dench here, but.
Steve Bertrand wants to jump in from the newsroom.
Your mom took it away from you because of the cover?
Yes.
Not the movie?
Well, I'm sure a little combo of both.
Yeah, she figured out what was in it because of the cover.
You can't judge a porn by its cover. No truer words have ever been spoken. When you do these fan fests, these conventions.
I just wonder, like, what the 100 mile an hour. Anyway, go ahead. When you do the fan fests.
Oh, boy.
What's the stupidest question that neither Wendy or I have ever asked you? Which is the dumbest question that anyone's ever asked you when they meet you and they know who you are?
If I really broke my arm and could pitch 100,
really?
No, they've never asked me that.
But come on, these are your fans. I mean, no question is stupid.
No.
They're probably very nervous to meet you.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I love doing the Wizard World Comic Cons because it's that opportunity where you get to meet people. I mean, where else can you really, like, quote unquote, go to work?
Yeah.
And my entire job is to meet people who enjoy my work.
Who love you.
Right. Like that. That's not work.
That's perfect.
And the best part about it is that, you know, I still get starstruck. So if I see someone that I recognize.
And that's what I wanted to ask you. Who is the one you're most excited to see at Wizard World?
Oh, at Wizard World. I mean, man, for this Wizard World, it's always fun to see Michael Rooker, who I think he's in the same building as me right now.
Yeah, you'll see him in a second.
He's coming in a minute.
No, he's been following me all morning.
he's, on your junket?
On my junket, on my press junket. He, you know, and I realized that he's got some more pull than me because he got to get up later than I did.
Oh, yeah, right.
That's the only reason he's following me. Otherwise, I would have been following him.
You know what's great about him is we've had him on twice before.
Maybe
three times. He's the nicest guy in the world, but he doesn't like you to say that on the radio because he says, I've got a reputation. If people know I'm a nice guy, they don't hire me to be a psychopath anymore.
Right.
So we have to say he's a really psycho, but he's not. He's a nice guy.
He is a nice guy.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. When you're at a restaurant or something and you run, you're still starstruck sometimes.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I still have my only one chance that I had to meet Dave Grohl was in like my favorite like little Mexican restaurant, but he was there with his family. I didn't want to go up and bug him. You know, so, and I've now since like recorded in Studio 606 on the famous Neve console, but he was out of town during the time. And every time like the Foo Fighters is playing somewhere that I want to go, I'm like busy booked with my band. So it's okay though. But like Wizard World takes that away because, you know, I just know that when I see someone that I really enjoy their work or what they create, I don't want to bug them while they're eating.
Right.
Wizard World isn't that. I'm there to meet people. So it takes away that whole uncomfortable thing because as people walk by, they go, hey, I just wanted to come up and tell you that, you know,
spend
I really love this
you.
Movie or that movie or whatever. And it's just I get to shake hands and say thank you for watching.
Can I ask you about Dave Grohl? Is he always fighting Foo? Is there ever a time where he's not battling Foo?
I don't think so.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing.
Do you know what actually a Foo Fighter is? It's like it's a kamikaze pilot.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
I looked it up. I'm a big Foo Fighters fan.
So if you run into Dave Grohl again, are you going to take the time to say hello even if he's eating a taco?
I mean, probably now that I've like recorded in his studio and I'm essentially friends with some of the people that work for the Foo Fighters.
You got an in.
Yeah, I got an in. The time that I saw him at my like favorite little hole in the wall Mexican restaurant in LA, I hadn't, you know, I didn't know anyone that he knew.
Right.
So I, you know. And it was really weird, too, because then, like, which may rest in peace, Chris Cornell showed up, like, 5 minutes later. And then they started chatting. And I was just, like, over there going, oh, my God, Dave Grohl's talking to Chris Cornell. and when I say, like, small Mexican restaurant, I mean, like, there's,
really
like,
small.
Seven tables.
Oh.
Like, he was, like, 10 feet away, and I was just, like, tongue-tied.
You didn't want to go, hey, Cornell, leave him alone. He's eating. Food fighter. You didn't do that? I would have done that.
I didn't.
Don't say hi to Dave Grohl.
No, I'll
if
leave
you
him
see
alone.
Him, all right?
I'll definitely leave him alone.
Nice to see you again.
Yeah,
it really is.
Thank you for having me on the show again.
Congrats on the book, soon to be a movie.
Yes. Yeah, we'll be shooting it, like I said, later this year.
That's so exciting.
And, you know, there's going to be a few of them. We've got plans for a series of books
awesome.
And a series of films.
That's outstanding. And everything's good with the band. You're happy with the direction the band's going in.
Yeah. Yeah. The Frat Party album's still kicking. We're just in town after the first pitch in the seventh inning stretch. We played at HVAC Pub. We played Bradley and Berwyn and, you know, just kind of, we started out in Topeka, Kansas. And,
yeah.
Went through Iowa, Waterloo, so, you know.
Your Midwest tour.
Yeah, that was our annual Midwest tour. I think the next tour, well, next dates are, we're playing Orlando at the House of Blues.
Nice, very nice.
And then also playing Nashville during the Nashville Wizard Comic Con.
Excellent.
Wizard
I love
World
Comic Con.
Wow,
excellent.
Now you got me saying it wrong. Bill, you're...
Bella, I know, I'm a bad influence on
yeah,
you.
It,
I am a bad
true.
Influence.
It's
I know,
true.
To
I
check
know.
Out the whole schedule of who you'd like to see besides Thomas Ian Nicholas, wizardworld.com, and your website?
ThomasNicholasBand.com, tinband.com, or ThomasIanNicholas.com. Whatever you feel like typing in, they all go to the same place.
Google them, and you'll get it.
Google me up.
Thomas, thank you so much. Enjoy your weekend here. I'll
thank
see you.
You
there probably tomorrow.
Awesome.
I'll come
yeah,
by
come,
and say hello.
Come by and say hello.
All right. That's Thomas Ian Nicholas, everybody. We'll take a quick break, then some news, and then Michael Rooker joins us. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.